It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Boom. What's up? Welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke. God, I'm chasing a dream. And today, we got the gamer man himself. The guy that always wears a suit every time I see him go and do stand-up.
Okay.
It's P.E. Dobbles.
Oh, what's up, man?
Dobbles
up?
Gaming.
What
how you doing, dude?
Going on?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, you're welcome. Man, it's good to finally get back into doing this, because it has been a long time coming. When's the last time? Oh, my shit's usually post-dated, like back-dated. So, like, whenever this comes out, it's not going to be immediate. It'll probably be, like, 3 months down the road.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of like explaining the past to the future.
Okay.
Yeah. So, at this point in time, things are almost getting back to normal.
Almost.
In Texas, we have the opportunity to take our mask off.
I like how you put it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
We're just like, Texas, we don't give a fuck anymore.
At all. Like, no. Yeah, Texas never gave a fuck. Like, how do you feel about that? Especially being doing comedy in Texas. How do you feel?
Well, as a person who's... It's funny because, like, I would go out and do... I've been steadily doing comedy, like, mm-hmm. throughout the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I caught Corona, like, way early.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, I caught it early in 2020, and I caught it from another comedian, which is funny, who was performing with another, a New York comic. And I remember being, like, at his club, and, like, I was drunk as shit that night. I was drunk as fuck, and I don't remember what we talked about. All I do is remember his open mouth being like, ah, and I was like, and then, like, I woke up 2 days later, I was like, man, I feel like shit, and then he was like, I got Corona, and I was like, oh. I don't know what we talked about. I remember your big-ass mouth just yelling at me. It was so, thanks, appreciate that, dog. Appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And so, like, having, like, antibodies and stuff, but, like, when I got it, like, I didn't really feel like anywhere. I think I was down for like maybe a week.
Yeah,
that was about it. Like, I bounced back pretty quick.
I have yet to get it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
It's so
strange nowadays, just because, you know, you got certain people that haven't, certain people that haven't had, and you know, so you look at people like, oh, you survived it. Oh, you got you got that super immune system.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always like, oh, I wonder if I'm gonna get it or how I'm gonna feel when I do get it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like remember cooties.
Cooties.
Yeah,
remember, as if it was a real, man, they made movies about it. You can find a documentary about cooties, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, the cooties pandemic. Even she turned around, she was like, it was a thing. Back in like
that. I wish we had that stamp out act, like 1, 2, 3 stamp out.
Right.
You know, I wish you could use that to be like, I can't get it. I can't get Corona or cooties. Yeah, but now, not now. This shit was for real. It was serious. And it's been like, I guess it's about to be a year since I've been on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you did the long haul.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
You did that, like, 2-year hibernation in space, and you're like,
I want to feel as if I was in a hyperbolic chamber, just beefing things up, but not at all. I'm just sitting back, just like waiting, itching, kind of like a crack theme. Like, I just
want
to tell a joke.
What's
that's it.
You on Netflix, man.
Yeah. I've been coping with it, just because, like, I was staying with my dad and them at one point in time when I got down here, so I couldn't really go about like I wanted to.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I gotta worry about them. They got respiratory systems, respiratory problems and all that. So I'm like, alright. But once me and my brother finally moved into a house, and now we kind of got freedom, so I'm like, all right. And plus, things are, you know, Texas never gave a fuck when it started.
Sure.
Texas is like,
I would drive by places and I'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
No mask, no stuff.
At all.
They were outside, though.
Fucking Texas is like, we want our sports, we want our games. My son needs to still play Little League football. Or is it Little League football? Can you say Little League football? Or is it just, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't do too many sports besides UFC. So
I love UFC.
If you want to date the show, tomorrow is the big three championship fight on UFC.
Oh, really?
258. Yeah, we got Israel Adesanya hopping up to heavyweight to go fight Blachowicz.
Damn.
Yeah, he can't.
So he put on weight to fight a motherfucker.
Right.
And the dude is like, I'm already here, dog.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. And so, like, he's already got the lightweight belt, so he's gonna go up. Everything nowadays about being a champ.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay if you've won champ, but if you go up in multiple divisions,
you a bad motherfucker. Yeah. You're a bad motherfucker. Some Conor shit right there. Yeah. You got 2-3 belts. And see,
that's the thing. I want to say that Conor really started this off, but I mean, boxing people—they've always done that.
Yeah.
You know, they're more than one division.
Even in like wrestling,
right?
Yeah.
But now in UFC, it's pretty difficult because it shouldn't be as difficult, but people usually walk around at a higher weight than what they're fighting at. So it's just like, all right, if I walk around at this weight, I can comfortably be here.
Yeah.
But I also, it's
but just have to like lose weight and gain weight. That sucks.
That's the terrible thing right there, actually. Losing weight and cutting weight and shit like that. I've never had to do it because I've always been small. Yeah. But I've always wondered, like, how bad could it be?
Oh, man, it sucks. As someone who's been fat my entire life, shit sucks trying to lose weight. But it's easy to gain muscle. Like, that's no problem for me. But it's just, like, keeping off fat, that's the hardest part for me. But to go back about, like, comedy and stuff like that. So you did the long haul. You're like, I'm just waiting until it's safe. Yeah, there's like comedy kind of like mixed them into like two groups to like people were like, yeah, I'm not gonna go out till it's safe, and other people that are just like, as long as I'm wearing a mask there.
Yeah.
Because like, to me, like people would give me shit for going out. They'd be like, oh man, you're going out doing comedy and stuff like that. I mean, you can bring your own mic. You wear a mask when you're walking around and stuff like that. I mean, just constantly wash your hands. It was fucked up that I got it early because like I'm kind of a germaphobe. She was like, oh, I don't like people touch my face. You know, I don't think I don't go around.
It's a bit much. Yeah, it's a bit much. I've had somebody rub my earlobe before, and I was like, what are we doing? Why is this a thing?
Are we together? Like,
yeah, it was very strange. It was very strange. And then they was trying to scold me because I wasn't listening to them because I had my earbuds on. It was like, if you take these earbuds out here and you motherfucking rub my earlobe, I'm like, yo, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? It's not appropriate, you know? It's like poking somebody on Facebook. You don't do that anymore. It's like, what the fuck?
I would if I could, though, just to fuck with people. You know, like a weird poke I remember like 3 months ago. I ain't talking to this motherfucker since high school. Poke like that.
Poke. Is it still a thing? Can you still poke people
on Facebook?
I think
if you look hard enough. I think it's like. I think pokes have now turned into likes. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea in the first place?
Just, I don't know. It was dumb. But see, in the beginning, it was like, oh, she poked me. Oh, that means she liked me. That's what it is. That's what you thought back then.
Yeah.
But a poke was just like, I was just trying to get your attention. Like, nah, you trying to have sex. That's what I want. That's what I got in my head. It's a poke.
It's
the
opposite of what women and guys think. Exactly. Women just think it's a cute poke, and guys are like, I'm trying to fuck.
Yeah, 100% you trying to fuck. That's what you doing. How long you been doing comedy?
Oh, I would say, without counting the pandemic. Because like I said, I kind of like, there was really only like a 3 month period where I really wasn't doing comedy.
Oh, right.
And to where like, I think Seed Group opened up for one night, and I was like, from then on, fuck it, might as well. And then once Darwin's open mic started, I was like, fuck it, yeah, we can go back. And then I had a friend who, she literally started comedy last year.
Oh,
and now
shit.
She's killing it. She got booked at the Riot and everything. I was like, damn, like, I was like, oh shit, I literally like.
I've only been out here for a year, and like, I haven't really been doing, I haven't been doing much comedy as a sense of being here, like I normally do in other places, like in New Orleans and everything, where I was at. It's just different for me. Just, I'm not in the hub area. I'm all the way out in the Spring. And
yeah,
that's far from damn near everything, because mostly everything is like closer to downtown and shit.
Oh, sorry about that. And I would say there's a big like. That's the problem with Houston comedy. Like, it's fucking clicky, and if you're not cool with people and stuff like
that. Is that what it is?
There's a real thing, like, in Houston comedy where, like, if you're a dick, that means you're funny, and they're just like, ah, no, I don't think
really?
So. Yeah. I know a guy who just, he had his first booking last night, and he's been doing comedy for over a year.
Yeah.
And he would say he's funny. He'd say he's funnier than me.
The arrogance.
Just because you're a dick doesn't make you funny and stuff like that.
I have noticed that more and more out here, that people become real douchey once they feel as if they know somebody or a motherfucker's actually putting them on or something like that.
Yep.
They get real douchey. Now, I've been around that because it coming like from the scene that I'm coming from, like people don't really do that. So to see it happening, it's like what it feels like. I'm in some type of movie or something. It's like you. Are you for real right now? Or are you joking? Are you just like, are you serious?
Did you just throw shit?
Like you seem like somebody I would slap the shit out of. Yeah. Like that. Like this is like there's no need for you to be acting this way.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like I do believe we were on a show. We were on two shows that I did better than you, motherfucker. Huh, you talking
exactly.
Shit to me? It's like man, that's something that bugs the
you definitely
fuck
don't.
Out of me.
You definitely don't want to be that person though. You definitely don't want to be that guy. Be like, man, fuck you, son. You ain't good. Like you doing all this shit, and but you know that's. It's real ugly to be like that, but on the other hand, it's like, why you being this way when you know you're only like 50%? Like, there's no... It, especially since I got down here, there was some things that I noticed when I just sat in the background and I just watched and listened and looked. I'm like...
You're a little like, ugh.
Yeah. Like, ugh. This is not a person that I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Especially in the comedy scene. Like, okay, I'm going to avoid you. And I'm gonna probably avoid you. You seem like you're cool. You know, we could probably hang out. But all that other shit, I'm like, it's just, especially for somebody that's only been doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people that came out for a year, it's that big headed feeling when you first start something. It's like, oh, I'm doing this good. Yeah. Like, still got to put in the time, partner. There's certain situations you haven't been in yet.
And like, if you're listening to this and you don't do comedy, it says putting in time. Comedy is the only thing that you can work at. 3 to 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah,
it's not like I can't go do comedy for an hour. I can't. It's not like going to the gym.
No,
or going to the track. Like I can only practice this 5 minutes at a time, or writing off stage, or taking notes, or listening to your recording stuff like that. Like comedy, I've only been doing it, I'd say 3 years,
because
everything in total. But it's just like I'm not really trying. I wouldn't sit down. I wouldn't sit in my front and go here. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah.
But it's just like there's definitely do's and don'ts. That no one ever told me. Because no one ever tells you. Like,
there's no guideline.
Yeah.
There's no fucking guideline. It's like, get out there and do it. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, you can't, like, anyone can go out and do an open mic, but no one ever tells you, get there early for sign-up so you can get a spot that you want.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to the host.
That's good knowledge right there.
Yeah, introduce yourself to the host.
Yeah.
Let them know your name
and
your face so you're not just a name on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know? Cause that could just be a joke. Yeah. Alexander Lipschitz number 7. Yeah,
definitely. And use your name. Unless you're gonna use an alias, stick with that. Don't change it up. Yeah, I've hosted a few mics and people come out there and like, oh, I'm such and such. You're like, nah, this dumb motherfucker here.
I know. All
right. Yeah, and we put them on and they do some stupid shit and we're like, all right, I remember that name. So now next time I'm gonna make sure I put you down at the bottom because you're doing dumb shit. Yeah. You know, we always let everybody up, but if you come to our mic and you do like outlandish, off the wall type of dumb shit, like that really, you know, brings the crowd down.
If you're bringing the crowd down,
definitely gonna rearrange.
No matter who you
next
are,
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't go up there and purposely try to fuck the crowd away.
Yeah, they have a few people that do that. Like when I went out to LA when I lived out there for almost a year, they had people that thought. That what comedy was just to be shocking. Just to come out and say most of the outlandish, just the off the wall outlandish, most outlandish shit ever, just to go get a ruse from people.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's...
You can do it on the street.
Like, yeah, man, that's what you're doing. Like, you gonna, like, if one person or if at least more than five people don't agree with what you're saying, you're gonna have a really bad night. And bombing ain't fun.
Oh, yeah.
Bombing ain't fun. And motherfuckers will tell you shit afterwards, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not what you want.
I think that's the problem, too. I think if you bombed, you should never tell anybody, hey, man, get set.
Like, no.
If you specifically know they bombed, and if they know they bombed, don't ever do that. I knew a guy, he was running a show, and like everyone wanted to get on the show, so like every time he would just bomb an open mic, and he would do his show, like he would perform his jokes as if they were. Is an open mic. I was like, no, you need to perform them as you're doing like a show, and as you're a comedian and shit like that. But I was like, nah, we need to be honest. Like, what's it called? Last show I did, the dude that was up after me just didn't carry the energy. Like, he got too drunk before the show, and I was like, fuck, man. Like, that's what I told him. I was like, yeah, you drank too much before the show. You weren't like I would smoke heading to a venue, heading to a mic, but I wouldn't smoke at the mic until I got off of stage.
Yeah, I don't like to get sloshed before I get on stage. That's never fun. Slurring your words is not fun.
Nope.
I've been in situations where I was way too high after the fact, Way too high before the fact is kind of terrible because you might forget shit or you might stumble over things or you might have a brain fart. Brain farts are on stage. Sick. Oh, that's the scariest moment. Because you never know how long it's going to last, and then you don't know what's supposed to come after that until it revs itself back up. And like, oh, this is where I was at. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's one of the ones where it seems like that's something that you need to practice for.
I prefer... They're not necessarily brain farts, but like I'll be like doing a joke and then I'll lead to something and someone in the audience will do something. And I'll be like, this and that. I'm like, what the fuck is I doing?
Yeah.
And someone will be like, buttholes. I'm like, all right, buttholes. Like, we go back to butthole. And it's just, but sometimes you'll just be like, this, that, do that joke. And then you'll be like, what was it?
And that's the time you can't do the fucking thinking.
Man, I suck at remembering shit. So, like, I hate when people, like, if you're on a show, like, even if it's just, like, a local show that happens every week, like, I don't want to see you, like, if I especially go out, and, like, you go on stage, and you do some jokes, and you go and look at your phone, and you do a joke, and you look at your phone again, I'm like, nah, motherfucker, I saw you do that last night at an open mic, like,
oh, shit. You know,
I write my set down, so instead of, like, turning down, clicking a button, leaning over, I just write my set on a piece of paper, and I write it big, too, so I can just glance. And just know what's next.
Yeah. So has that always been your process since you started? What was your beginning process?
Like, once again, like, no one tells you how to do comedy. Especially if no one likes you and wants to help you. People like to watch you drown. Don't get me wrong.
They love it.
If you're a motherfucker at an open mic and you think you're worth some shit, and I just watch you bomb, I'm like, yes, this is worth watching you bomb. Because you think you're worth it. Like, this, man, it's hilarious. But no, I used to write my hand on my set. I used to write my set on my hand, and I just like look at it and shit like that.
Wow!
I remember one dude that was doing it for like, he's like one of the biggest assholes in Houston comedy. He would run up to me and be like, "Oh, you fucking idiot! You have your shit written on here. What are you? You're like an idiot, dude."
Wow, well, that's not positive. I mean, you don't need to chop somebody down because you know they're trying to figure things out.
Yeah. Like, which is weird because like my friend that I helped start comedy, I was like, "Go to open mic, get there early, so get your spot, introduce yourself." Even another person that started comedy last year, she was like, I don't know that man. And I was like, he's the host. You have to know the host. Because she was just like, I think I got skipped. And I was like, You probably did.
He don't know you.
You have to understand bumps.
Yeah.
Don't get offended by bumps. Take them as like, maybe the person before that bump bombed, so they're putting the bump up to like bring the energy up.
Right, to bring the energy up in the room.
And you need to be grateful for that.
Yeah. Because especially if they allow you to go right after that person. Because usually if that happens, a bump is going to come. If somebody that's established already comes in, then boom, we'll put them between this person and that person.
Yeah.
Or if the crowd, depending on what type of show it is, if there's a lot of people at the open mic, somebody will put somebody else in. They'd be like, hey, man, bring this crowd back up so we can keep it going. Because you don't want to lose the crowd at the open mic, man. That's your moneymaker right there.
Especially if you're fucking hosting it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, my boy over the bump was like, I used to get bumped by Koo a lot. And I was just like, because there was seats like, oh, yeah, put me on $4.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, you know you're going to do better than me. So it was like, he would go up before me and like, all I need to do is carry the energy.
Yeah.
Just keep it up there for the next guy. And it's just like, oh, I can follow a headliner. It's just like, this and that. And now recently, like, I think about the shows that I've been put on. Like, I'm like, I don't really get saved till later, you know, because I wouldn't say my comedy's gold. It's definitely not, you know. I can hold my own for 10 minutes, maybe 15, for sure. Solid 10.
I mean, you did the heckle mic.
Oh man, that was the most. If we're going to talk about fucking anything, are we still recording? Let's make sure that if we're going to talk about fucking anything, talk about the experience, bro. So the first night I met you was at this. What was the name of the mic?
Something heckle mic.
Okay, it was that. But what was it on? There was a street that I was on.
Oh shit!
The name of the place. What was the name of the place?
Don't know that either. I just know it was a heckle
mic. It's not Carrington's, but it's across the street from Carrington's.
This is my first time seeing some shit like that.
Too. Yeah, right. Where they encourage you to heckle.
Encourage.
And this, I have to set this up. So in Houston comedy, there is like a main, Houston Improv, and they do headliners. They don't really support local comedy. They have one open mic a week, or they did when shit was going on. And then you have Secret Group, which they would have like four shows every week, and then like three mics after four of those shows. So it was just like, not only do you a comedy show, everyone can come out and do time and shit like that. trying to carry audiences over to from a show to an open mic or from an open mic to a show.
Right.
And they're really good at that, which I would call underground comedy, like,
yes.
Theater would be underground comedy. And then you have the black community, which almost seems like an entirely different thing, because, like, there's the local
every
underground.
Every city's got one.
Yeah, there's the local underground Houston comedy, and then I would say, you know, I'm cool with I know most of these people.
Yeah.
And I know most of these people, and they know me and stuff like that, and they have a certain image of me and stuff like that. But when I go to the black rooms, they're just like, oh, he's the white boy in the suit. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that's cool. Like,
definitely. Oh, you're not the persona of everybody else. Yeah, okay, definitely. Yeah. So you are whatever. It doesn't matter whatever ethnicity. Oh, it's the white guy. And so it's like, let's see what he's got.
Yeah.
You're going to come here. You know what it's about to be. And see, that's I gave you so much props. I was just like, because you understood what that was going to be. And it was just the blackest of rooms.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, shit. And this motherfucker's here in a suit.
In a suit.
And it's a heckle mic. And then see, the thing of this heckle mic. Now, I've been at a heckle mic before. DDT. Shout out to DeeDee. She put on a heckle mic down in New Orleans. And basically what she did, she gave me and my homie the mic, and we had the God mics. So we was in the back. They didn't know it was just going to be us. It wasn't the whole crowd that can heckle. It was just us two. Mm-hmm. And it went pretty good.
Yeah.
Because we know each other. We had my partner that went on stage. We made him cry.
We
shit it
because you can fuck with something better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's difficult to do that. But this mic, motherfucker's just like, whoever's in the crowd, say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Yeah.
And that is a comic's nightmare right there.
Oh.
A nightmare. So please, go ahead. Okay, explain your feelings.
Bro, okay, so the first time I met you. So, I thought your name was, I thought your name was Callie for the longest, but it was Kyle, because it was loud. It was fucked up, because, like, they were playing music, and, like, we got there early for, like, sign-up.
Yeah.
We're like, man, we got good spots to talk to hosts. We're like, how much time we get? And you usually get 5 minutes or three. But for this one, he was like, man, you got 5 to 10. And we were like, 5 to 10, let's go. I gotta work some shit. This is awesome. It's a wireless mic. I can walk around. I didn't realize that until the second time. And fucking, we get there, and, like, the shit starts. And like, these people do not want jokes. They They don't want premise punchline. They don't want setup premise punchline. They want a crowd work. Like,
yeah.
If you were someone that they liked, like, you're
like, bitch, talk to me. Tell me something. It's I just want to tell a joke. That's
you,
it.
You ended your set, like, on top of the stool. Like, fuck you. To the bartender. You're like, real Bill Burr. Like, I got time. Until,
yeah.
Man.
I told that man I dipped my balls in his throat. I was so glad that when I was on top of that stool that I did not fall. Because if I was like, if I fell, that ruins the whole joy. I feel like I was at Tony Hawk doing a big combo. I'm like, yes, I'm racking up the points right now. Just
balance
don't fall. Get my manuals on and shit.
Just don't
fall. And I was like, oh, I got off that stool and I felt great. I was like,
that's
oh,
awesome.
Bitch, I gave it to you just
that's
now.
Fucking hilarious.
That was a terrible mic.
Oh, yeah. I followed you and they fucking ate me alive. And then I fucking went back next week. And then, like, next week.
You went back next week?
I went next week. And it turned into my favorite mic. Because I was like, you can go to a mic. And it's like when I have, like, when I say the underground area, like, they all know me and they have a persona of me.
Yeah.
I've heard their jokes, they've heard my jokes and shit like that. And it's just like, you go to an open mic, okay, that bombed. All right, that wasn't fun and shit like that. But, like, I went back to that one.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I ain't gonna do no jokes. I got a wireless mic.
Yeah.
I literally walked up to every person and just did crowd work fucking around. I was like, what up, man? I was like, what up, honey? How you doing? How you doing? You this handsome fella? And I looked at him and I was like, bro, why are you even with her? Me?
Yeah.
I can suck your dick just as good as her. You see these guns? Who trying to suck these dicks, dude? And just, man, they were loving it. And then I walked, and there was only one person in that crowd that didn't take my shit. I walked to an older black dude, and he's like, I got a gun. And I was like, all right. Next. And I was like, on to the next one. It was hilarious. Man, I missed that. That was, what a good
That's
drink,
what's
dude.
Up. That's what's up. See, that's how you conquer a fear right there.
Boom. It's built. Well, here, are we down to this?
Yeah.
Are we done?
God, shit. If you don't like the little smaller.
I'm not a roach person.
Oh, no. I'm
no.
a roach man right
I'm
there.
Not.
I'll get in there.
I'm a bong man.
I see that.
See.
Got the big old bongs over here the Jay and Silent Bob Snoogans type of little rolling tray. Have you always wanted to do comedy? Was that the thing that since you were little?
I remember my first, like, introduction to comedy was, like, Latin Kings of Comedy Volume 3. It was, like, a DVD that my aunt had, And wow. It was just something that constantly got played because it was, like, really funny. And then I remember one time, I was helping my friend do YouTube videos, and he was like, let's go out and shoot stuff and yeah. stuff like that. So we're like, we went to karaoke's and like, went to trivia, and then we missed out on, so long story short, we ended up doing Boondocks. That was my very first open mic, and man, he did okay, and I didn't bomb. Like, we both did okay, and it was our first time, so we were like, fuck it. I mean, what, y'all do this every Tuesday? Man, that was the first time I met Nathaniel Potts, and he's hands down the golden standard of a host. Like,
yeah.
And as a person who's hosted a bunch of mics and shit like that, he taught me a lot without telling me.
It's weird how that happens,
Teaching me.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking weird. I was like, oh, like, I learned so much from him. And then, Boondocks. Yeah, I remember fucking up like in my early years because I was thinking like, man, if I could just host one of these, I'm gonna get better. Which it is, like, the more stage time you do, you know.
Yeah.
Especially
hosting. Hosting's a different muscle when you're getting up there doing it that way.
That's true. And talk about like doing different muscles. Like, you got to write your jokes. You got to work your jokes. And then like crowd work is also a thing. I know one guy, Nathaniel. He's like, he does joke after joke. Like, he's a funny guy, man. He's fucking hilarious. And I was like, how do you feel about crowd work? And he's like, I'm fucking terrified of it. And he's the type of person that I would. I was like, you? Out of all people? He's like, fuck
yeah. Some people got it good. Some people is just like, I mean, it doesn't mean if you don't have it good, but it's still scary. I deal with it. I fucks with it. But I'm so energetic, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, you're on your flow. You're saying.
People were just like, where is he going? Oh my God, did he just say that? So it's like, yeah, I take it that route. But when it comes to crowd work, if it has to happen, I really got to be on my P's and Q's.
It's literally how I start every set. It's like, because almost like I realized that your crowd work, because you can do crowd work as if like you're doing your set and you're just doing your crowd work set. Because I was like, oh, here we go. We got the Tinder dates. We got the guy and the girl. And we got the grinder dates. We got the guy and the guy. And it was just like, who's the top? Who's the bottom? I don't care. I want to be in the middle. And it's just like, you kind of get everyone like in your...
It makes them comfortable. Get them on your side.
It's not... I'm moving too fast for them to like hop in.
Right.
And so like... after like maybe a minute of crowd work, I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'll go into Psycho Mike's story, and after that I'll go to Alabama or Tiffy's Butthole and stuff like that. And even right now, like, I'm super bad at memorizing. Yeah, I got my phone as like the background to like opening and stuff like that. Cause like, I mean, you see your set, like subliminally it's kind of like in there and shit. Like, you got Catholic, Call Me
you
Father.
You got colors and shit. You got to see what I've done now. Basically, I just got keywords.
What's your set like? Look, written down.
Yeah, this is what my sets look like. These here, see, $2 bills, LeVar Burton, skating, six nuggets.
Yeah,
and so that's just the titles of them.
And you ever realized they weren't titles when you wrote them down?
No,
they were words or phrases that remind you of a joke.
Yes.
And then when you go, remember when you listen to like old comedy albums?
Yeah,
and those bits would have titles.
Right,
and you're like, that's. Because I would think, like, when I was younger, I'm like, man, it'd be cool to come up with a title for a joke. When you realize, like...
No, the title comes after.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, it was already there.
Yeah.
For some reason. Like, it's usually the premise. Literally, it says crowd work at the top of my set.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike, Alabama. Girlfriend VR, you know?
Yeah.
TikTok, Michael J. Fox, hair segregation, witch doctor.
And that's all you need. That's all you need to just rev up the engine and be like, oh, I know how this bit goes already. Because it's muscle memory. Basically, that's what's going on. So, as long as you, like, once I've written down the jokes, this is usually what happens in my phone. This is how my jokes and shit go. Poems, but yeah, I've been years.
So you literally write out your jokes.
Yeah, I write them out completely like that, with little hashes.
Insane.
And then I just break it down.
I'm literally looking like he pulls up a joke that has a title and it's like paragraphs.
Yeah, boom. And I just break it down into that because I already know what it is. And it really, like this, ever since I found this app, Color Note, because the first time when I was like 2 years in and I brought my phone like Sprint to go get it fixed or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And they erased everything.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh shit. And I didn't know this thing had backed it up to the cloud.
Oh, that's
so
good.
All my shit has been backed up to my Google account.
Yeah.
And so I've just got ever since I've started comedy, I've had everything, and I'm like, oh, and I've never used anything else.
I got a whole phone that's filled with, like, like my first year of, like, shit. I remember one time some dude was like, "Don't you have, like, This Is America joke?" And I was like, "I guess so, maybe." He was like, "No, motherfucker!" Like, he was like, "I hosted that mic and you did." I was like, "It was probably just a tag." And he was like, "No, motherfucker, it was a joke." And he was like, "Look up." He's like, "I know you got it in your phone." And I was like, "Maybe when I broke it, like, once that phone broke, that joke died." That poor joke.
I've gotten the first time. Have you ever lost, like, so you've lost jokes before?
Man, I had notebooks, and then I was just like, you already carry around a phone, and then you're just like, you know.
Like, I got books stored away now, but, like, the first time I ever lost, like, all my jokes, it was, even though they were there, but there's the other little shit that's, like, that could potentially be stuff.
Yeah, nuggets.
You never use yet, and those are the things that you really worry about losing. It's like, I can remember the ones that I liked, but the ones that were there that I haven't used, those are gone, and I'm like, Like I really was heartbroken the first time I lost all my jokes. Like, I felt like a girlfriend broke up with me.
But wait, were you not recording your sets? Because that's also...
I've recorded all of my sets. I haven't did video recording for all... I used to do it for most of them when I first started. Yeah. I used to record everything. I used to be that dude that always had a camera and recorded everything, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because now, like, we had shit to look back on since me and my group, I have a group down back at home, Young Funny, and it's like 9 of us, like Wu-Tang. Like, ever since we started, we've just kind of progressed, and everybody kind of branched out and does their own little thing, which makes us still cool as a clique, because, you know, doing this for like 8-10 years now, motherfuckers, well, I've been doing it for like 4-5, so, you know, it's like a family, and, you know, usually if you're close with friends like that, it doesn't mix all the time, but,
I've only done comedy in Houston, and, like, you realize, I used to think of it as, like, there's seniors, sophomores, and freshmen, and I used to be a freshman, and now I'm kind of, like, in that sophomore, like, era, where people were like, "I've seen you do this for, like, 3 years and shit, like, you're the guy in suits," and I was like, "Oh, that's weird, like, that's weird."
Yeah.
They're just like, "That's fucking..."
You know, it's even weirder, like, when people memorize your shit. And then yelling at you randomly.
Oh no!
Like,
I've never heard that.
Oh,
what? I wish I had a joke with someone.
I do poetry as well.
Yeah.
So there's certain shit, like, I have a poem called "Girl, Where's You Going with These Eyebrows?"
Oh.
And people is that love
a good
that
or
shit.
A bad story?
It's good to hear, but I really shit on people's eyebrows. The ones that do them really terrible, yeah, like the dumb eyebrows. I shit on them hard. And people love it. I first did it at a black room, and I didn't know it was gonna go like it should have, because you know, everybody in a black room is worried about their eyebrows, and I did it there, and it killed, and I was like, "Oh, this is my shit." So I haven't done shit with it since. Like, I do need to put it out, but that's like my golden nugget right there. So I just keep that one in the backfield. But, like, it's gotten to the point to where people used to, you know, see me in the CVS and shit, and I can't see over the counters in the CVS. Like, I can't see over the shelves and shit. People see me though, like, "Girl, where's you going with these eyebrows?" And I'm like, "Who's doing this?" And you see them, they like, "I'll see you, nigga." I'm like, "Whoa, okay." You know, it's so weird. It is so weird because it's random. You know, you don't know that person, but apparently that person knows you because they were in the crowd.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're like, the friend that I helped started doing comedy last year. I was like, "So you saw me, like, do comedy, like, before you, like, walked up, before she wanted to do comedy?"
Yeah.
Like, and she was like, "Yeah." I was like, "How many times?" And she was like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Before I started wearing suits?" And she was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Oh, man."
This is before she was, like, doing comedy. And I was, we're just hanging out. I was like, "This is kind of weird. Like, this is..." Like, I'm the 6'2", 250 big motherfucker, and I'm worried. She's a tiny person, and I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, it's the guy. The guy in the suit. Yeah, that's how I know you as.
It's because, like, I mean, Houston, like, there's a small. It's a small community, Houston comedy. But, like, you can go years. Like, I've been doing this for 3 years, and I still meet new people.
Yeah.
But, oh man, I remember, like, the first time I did Carrington's, and I walked up to the host, and he goes, I go, hey, man, what's going on? I'm P.E., and he goes, Dobbles, and he finished last, and I was like, I've never met you. Like, that is weird. I was like, what the fuck?
It's cool. That's notoriety right there. Dude, that means you're doing your shit, and you're on your game. That's what that means, and it's awesome. Like, when I went out to L.A., like, within the 9 months that I was out there, like, things fucking happen, and I was like, this is amazing. Just because, like, when it gets down to me and my writing, it's different from other people, because other people, especially in the poetry scene, most of that shit's just sad, you know. Everybody's just like down in the dumps and glum and shit, you know. I got a bidet poem. I talk about my bidet because I love it. I love my bidet. Clean assholes is a thing, man. Everybody loves a clean asshole. So, you know, if you can go ahead and talk about bidets and clean assholes and put it in a manner, put it in a manner to where people's like, nigga, you rhyme that whole time?
Yeah, that's a skill. Yeah. Heard, like, people that can flow, people that write poetry, people that are good at memorization will do really well in the Houston comedy scene. Like, especially, like, I know Alex did. She was like, oh yeah, I wrote poetry before I did this. Judea Driscoll, she was like, I did a lot of writing.
Yeah.
She was like, I wrote, like, just stories before I started doing comedy. And you're just like, that, you're working out a muscle. And you're just like, fuck, I wish I had to get up. Or, like, I wish I started doing this younger. Like, I'm 30 and I've only been doing this for 3 years. And
What was your motivation before? Well, like, what did you, when you were growing up, what did you think you were going
to
be doing?
Oh, no, I wanted to be, like, a movie director and stuff. Like, oh, okay. That. And I was, like, super into, like, how to make movies and movie criticism and stuff like that.
Hence
that,
the whole setup here.
Yeah, I know. It's which led me to, like, turning my front living room into a fucking, like, recording studio. Yeah. Kind of.
This is dope. It's dope as fuck.
It is weird when, like, you meet new people and they come over and, like, your front living room looks like an insane asylum. And it's just like, what are up with the fucking selfie? Is it? I sit there and I go, I have good sound quality for my gaming podcast, but they, and like, I look at their eye and like, I hear what they're saying with their eyes, and they say, oh no, it's the padding up my screams when you murder me. And it's just like, no, try my chicken wings and tacos. Like, just.
You do. You're a formidable hostess, sir. Every time I came over here, you fed me, and first time we had air fried wings,
bro,
which you did not like. I enjoyed the fuck out of them.
Oh, yeah.
I think before we get off here, we need to talk about your Dobbles Gaming, son. Oh. Because the concept, just all together, this shit is fun. Like, you're a gamer, man. And to have other gamers come in and just, explain your whole Dobbles P. Dobbles Gaming. I just like to
Dobbles
say
Gaming.
It. Dobbs Gaming.
Yeah, if anyone's interested in seeing Houston comedians play video games, just go to Facebook and type in Dobbs Gaming and subscribe. It's a the original concept, like, it grew to where I was like, dude, like, I didn't think about how much work. Okay, if you're gonna start a podcast or like a YouTube channel, it's a job. It's like a secondary job. Okay, so for example, when you come over to do a podcast, we sit down, you hit the record button, and we gotta be funny for 45 minutes. With there, I don't give a fuck about being entertaining. No one gives a fuck. But the cool part is, like, but when you put a camera on comics or people that are naturally entertaining, they just naturally get going.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so, you know, I just didn't want to come over, okay, record, be funny, go.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard to do that for 4 hours.
You put them on a game, everybody's, it's just like Twitch streaming. That's why people won't watch people do Twitch. Just like, when I came over here, I played The Ghost of Tsushima. Oh my god, just every turn, just you get to decapitate motherfuckers, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You get to sneak up on people, chop their heads off, that's exciting. Yeah. I'm gonna talk the whole time.
You are.
But especially as I bust somebody's ass?
Yeah.
What? I'm about to switch stance on you and fucking thrust? Get out of here.
Fucking people. Man, up. You describe that game really weird. I get decapitate and thrust and switch a stance on
switch
a motherfucker.
Switch stances? Yeah. Calling the horse? What? Come on.
Basically, you're Japanese Batman. You're like Samurai Batman, but you straight up murder people and defend your home country from, like, what are they? Mongolians.
Yeah,
it's fucking dope. I highly recommend. So the original idea was, how many comedians does it take to beat video games?
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'll do it once a week. I'll have one comic over, and we'll see how far they can get.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I turned into, well, I was like, well, fuck. And then the pandemic, that's what, cause I was like, no mics, nothing to do. I was like, let me start this. Because I was thinking about it pre-pandemic. That was like something I wanted to start. Because like, in his account, I'm like a straight nerd.
Yeah.
Like, I love movies. I love video games. I love comic books. Even though I'm not like deep, deep into everything, it's usually my main thing. If it, mm-hmm. like, if you're not... Anyway,
you're
about,
skimming the surface of what you like.
Oh yeah, well it's the waters I like swim in.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I'm not. People would say that's like uncool things to talk about, like an open mic. She's like, no, you're 30, but you're talking about Batman the animated series. I'm like, hey, hang on,
what you talking about?
Have you ever seen Heart of Ice? Or just like, yeah, I love
it. Harley Quinn is on HBO. Okay,
hey, bro, yes,
hey,
bro,
exactly.
Mrs. Cobblepot wasn't a thing until that show came out.
Then this motherfucking show, I was like, my brothers put me on it. There's so many things that I've that just adult comedy and adult animation, adult humor. Like, that's everything that, you know, fuck, we don't need to live like our parents used to live.
Yeah.
That shit was terrible. It's like, nah, you're living a terrible life. I'm having fun while I'm enjoying life.
It's DC meets, like Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And they're just like, man, they're not holding that shit.
At all. F-bombs, cunt, what?
Yeah.
There's everyone at Dr. Psycho.
Oh, yeah, he calls fucking Wonder Woman a cunt. He gets canceled.
He
like,
got
Jesus
canceled.
Christ. Like, that's fucking hilarious. And King Shark, man. Just, I love the whole show.
King Shark is Ron Funches?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I
fucking love
it.
Shout out Ron Funches.
Oh, Clayface is like a super dramatic
actor. Super
dramatic
actor. It's so good. It is so.
Alan Tudyk plays Clayface and Joker.
Oh,
and
really?
It's like Alan Tudyk is killing it as a Joker, and he's the most assholeist.
He's a very assholeist
like,
Joker.
This
is like, you know, all Harley Quinn wants to be is witch. It's like, this is, I like this. I like what we're doing here.
Yeah,
awesome. I like what we're doing here. This is fun. I never, like, I didn't think Harley Quinn was going to be like that. Like, ran with Harley Quinn ever since after
the
Suicide
mascot.
Squad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I fucks with this. This is dope.
Dom's Gaming. See, this is our comedy range. So, and I was like, well, I'm off two days out the week. I ain't doing shit. So let me invite two comics over.
Yeah.
And that was the real key thing. Because, like, I was like, I want to, like, and I was like, I'm trying to be healthy. So I got an air fryer.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can make wings. I realized how many wings I can make for people with an air fryer. And I just, at first they sucked. But now, and then you find, and you go out there, and you go, I need to find them good chicken wings, man. I'm looking at bags. I'm like, man, some pussy-ass wings. I feel like older women. So like, I saw, like, an older woman. Because I saw her put down my wings.
Yeah.
And she went over, she picked up them, and she put her back. And I was like, hold on.
She knows something.
Yes.
She knows something. You've been around the block.
So, now I only fuck with, like, them thick thighs. Them, like, genetically modified, caged.
Okay. I see. You upgraded. That's what's
good though.
That's what's up. That's if you go provide for people, might as well get quality, you know?
Yeah.
Quality is the way to go. Hey, people appreciate you.
And then it was like I'm a vodka guy.
Oh,
and
yeah?
So, like, not everyone's a vodka person, so I was like, well, let me get Jack Daniels. And then I realized, like, I'm spending, like, so much money buying wings, buying booze, cups. And I was like, I have four comedians coming over every week. It's like, just to do it. And we're not just doing an hour-long show.
No,
we're doing
two to four hours. Yeah.
DDT and Alicia Steves, they came over and did eight hours.
It's a hangout.
It's not a show. It's a fucking hangout.
That's exactly what
it is.
And you're going to put it on a podcast. People are going to love to see it. That's how Rogan started his shit.
It's
just like, that's awesome.
Just hanging out. And like, what you said, Ghost of Tsushima, like, I realized, like, it was so weird to me, like, not everyone plays video games.
No.
Like, someone might be familiar with something that might interest you and stuff like that, or a particular person, but they're not in it. Like week to week, I'm watching, like, the reviews of movies and video games. That's my week to week. Whatever came out, I'm watching and stuff like
that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like,
oh, man.
Fucking
G4?
Yes.
I used to watch the fuck out of G4, especially because it was a channel that, you know, not everybody had. And I was like, oh, I got G4.
And
so I used to watch the hell out of it, but now it just kind of... Things kind of got hazy.
And as I get older, it's like I watch every review before I buy something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know it's going to go on sale.
Yeah.
Like, I only buy digital content because I want to have disc and shit everywhere. So I can just load it up when you're here. Like,
yeah.
As long as I have it downloaded, you can play it. Like,
I don't know why I'm not like that anymore. I've been trying to figure it out. I used to be heavy on shit like that.
Yeah.
I used to collect fucking TV guides.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, don't ask why. For some reason, I was like, one day this is going to be something. Yeah. So I got stacks.
Yeah.
Like, years and years of TV guides.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I would miss. Like, you know when you scroll cable and things are like halfway done, starting in maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Man, I was like, what happened? And they're like, hey, you can do that on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when you're looking at Stars. And I was like, oh, I missed this. I want to watch the last 5 minutes of Hell's Kitchen. So, you know, it's nothing worth watching. But I was just, I missed that while scrolling through.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you know, he just started. I'm not going to watch a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, there's certain things that I did and I never understood why I did. But I was just like, well, I don't know. That was just how my brain worked at the time. I was just like, this is going to be something.
Have you got rid of them?
I think they got caught in the flood. Okay. They might have got caught in the flood. I'm not sure. I know my brother held National Geographics, but, you know, just the thing that I just wanted to just hoard a whole bunch of TV guides.
Yeah. And that's, I remember I was listening to a podcast where the host was, he was saying a friend gave him a book about how hoarding causes, the less you hoard, the less stress you have. And he was like, yeah, I'm halfway through the book. And I was like, motherfucker, I don't need to read a whole book. Just tell me don't hoard shit and I'll feel less stressful. Yeah. You know, that saves me an hour or two reading a book. Yeah. And so, like, I remember I got rid of, like, a fuck ton of my comic book collection. Like, the only thing that's left in my room of my comic books are what's worth reading. I was like, oh, you need to read. Like, this is worth reading. Like,
but you sold them?
Yeah, half price books. That's all that was. And then it was fucked up because now I recently got into, like, Gundam building. And because, like, as, like, that's I do security, dope. Like, I sit at a gate.
Yeah.
Like a little shack with air conditioning and
Wi-Fi.
That's definitely
time to do Gundam.
Yeah, just build shit, just write jokes, and just, yeah.
I just got into crochet.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I'm going to crochet me some little sock, man.
I got, you know those braids that you did as a kid?
Oh,
like
the little plastic ones where you had the box braids? You doing that again?
I made her one. Oh, I got an extra long
exciting.
One that I just do at work.
Yeah, that's exciting. Come on, crafts, my nigga.
Bro,
crafts.
I got, yes.
Yeah, crafts is the way to go. Got to stimulate that mind.
We built this last night.
Y'all built
it? Dude, it does.
Oh, this. One of the pop-out ones. Yes, I definitely want to get one of those. That shit is dope.
This shit didn't work. I can't believe I got paid to make this.
Come on! That's a Lego?
Yeah, a little chicken walker from Star Wars.
Fuck yeah.
I'm gonna give this to a kid with cancer.
Shit. Good times.
I'm gonna give it to my mom.
I always like to bring back the little things, man. The little things. The little things is what really keeps your brain stimulated.
That's what gets you caught.
Yeah.
According to Denzel Washington in the mediocre movie that came out 10 years.
It's the little
when
things.
Should have. That's crazy. Oh, wait, but if there's like.
It's a mediocre movie. You really.
Man, bro, when Denzel Washington, Robbie Malek, and Jared Leto are in a movie, like, all Oscar winning. All three of those Oscar winning people. Man, they must have seen something in this. This is going to be good. January. Oh, no. Anything that's released in January sucks. Oh man, that's fucked.
I mean, it was interesting. I've watched some interesting movies lately. The Croods 2?
Oh, ooh. Really? Animated?
Have you seen The Croods 1?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Caveman stuff?
It makes you feel. It makes you feel.
It makes you feel. That's hilarious.
It's a really good one. The Coming to America 2, which everybody it's always gonna be half and half. There's so many fucking haters on the internet. That's why I don't even deal with the internet.
That's where trolls live.
Yeah. Fuck that.
They're not a real thing that you can touch in real life.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
They're out there. Don't come cross my bridge, bitch.
Like, yeah, when you find out someone like votes for Trump, you're just probably, they're a troll person. You know, and pull off their head and like,
oh,
you know, like, they're like, oh, shit.
Ogre faces and
oh,
shit.
Is there any, like, golden rules? I want to say golden rules, or, like, guidelines that you would give to, like, people?
Move the mic stand.
Oh, yeah, well, that just becomes, like...
Just in case, if you're not that person, that is one thing that you want to do. That's always a good thing. Either move it to the side or move it behind you.
Yeah.
And know where it's at behind you.
Yeah.
I've tripped over a few mic stands. Don't bang on a stool if you got a beer on there.
I remember I was trying to hold
a helpful one right there.
Yeah. You know when you walk up and you gotta shake the dude's, you gotta shake the host's hand and then grab the, you gotta shake, at least you gotta shake his hand.
Yeah.
You don't do that anymore. You maybe do like a fist bump,
or something.
I remember my dog, I had two, because the fucking bar, I had two drinks in one hand, and I was so confident. And like, I only took like two sips of the one, and one was just, oh.
Henry was like,
Toe, you spilled Toe. It was hilarious. I love pissing off Henry because he's like an old man in a 30-year-old body. And it was fucking hilarious. Oh, man. Avon had a fucking mic. That shit was hilarious.
That's where I did the, that's where they have poultry at the Avon Garden.
Oh, yeah, outside. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
right
there.
I heard
from
someone, yeah.
Right about now. But yeah, whichever poetry that is, I did it out there one time. And then, yeah. It's Houston is big. They, you know, it takes so far, it takes so long to get certain places. But, you know, it's not like from where I'm from. New Orleans, you can 30 minutes to get you across the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. 30 minutes here, you'll still be driving.
Especially when you leave.
When you leave, where you're coming from, where you're going.
And hopefully you get to Mike before, right before sign up.
Right before sign up, that's all.
That's going to get in there. Oh, yeah, I learned, man. There's a rule, just learn a good placement. If you know the list is going to be like set down in a certain area, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to wait here all night. And I know I wasn't the first motherfucker here. I remember Jolly caught me doing that once, because I'll get there right before this hangout, and Jolly was like, all right, y'all, line up, and Davos, you can't go first, I know you're going to be first, and I was like, all right, this is and then kind of, you can, like, do weird, like, maneuvers and shit like that, and if there's, like, new people, too, just like, yeah
people,
that's crazy.
Yeah, oh, that line situation, dealing with lines, not having to deal with lines, it's different, it's new.
When comedy like first started back up at Darwin's, like, man, the list is like 45 people. Shit. And like people that stopped doing comedy to come back, and you're like, dog, like I'm not, because I've known people that are just like, I stopped comedy for like 5 years and I came back
for five years.
Yeah, and like he came back and like he's great, he's funny as fuck. And you're like, Jesus Christ, but it's just like right now I took like a break. I haven't done comedy about like 3 weeks, something like that. Going on that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but it was weird. Cause it's like it's a muscle.
It's because when I go back home, I'm actually be doing comedy, and then if my first go round back at doing comedy, it gotta be clean. So I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, man.
That's what you gonna do? You gonna put me in the shit as soon as I get back? All right.
Yeah.
Like I've done a show, a Zoom show before. I've done Zoom shows and shit, but I haven't been on stage since. You know, so it's just like, it ain't gonna be nothing. It's just gonna be bad, like getting back on the unicycle again. So
I had everyone, like, I was people used to talk shit to me the year before, and talk not just me but everybody about how funny he was. I'm the baddest motherfucker. I'm the funniest motherfucker in Houston comedy. And then like Darwin's first started, and then like everyone was bummed. Like, boom, was like a fucking Jesus. Like Jesus Christ, like the Hindenburg, everyone. I was like the humanity. I remember
Helium.
He went up and he was like, "It's okay. In a few weeks, I'm gonna get my powers back. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna get the footy."
Oh yeah, and is that how, like, they say it? Is that what they feel like?
It took me a while. Like, it took me to get back into the rhythm of things. But now, like, and then like, I think I took two weeks off like recently.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Mathis was like, I saw him. He was like, "I got a show tonight," and I was like, "Oh, thumbs up, clap on his like story."
Yeah,
like, good for him. And he came back, he was like, "Yo, man, you want some stage time?" And I was like, fuck it. Because, like, I remember Harris is the only fucking comic that started when I started that's left, that's still around. And I remember one piece of good advice that he ever gave me was, never turn down opportunity, bitch. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Thanks. Thanks, Harris. He was, to bring Harris back, he was that one comic that said he was better when we were on two shows together. Like, and you still didn't book me, you bitch! Dropping. When you were running the riot, Harris. You dumb motherfucker! No. Good old
times.
Harris. Good old Harris.
Times.
But you were saying, like, around names and stuff like that? Like, I don't go by my name. I go by P.E. Dobbins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, like, that sounds weird. And usually, like, in high school and stuff like that, and, like, with my close friends, they would refer to me as Dobbles or Dobbs and stuff like that. So I never go by my first name because my grandfather was named after me.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother would be like, Paul, and we'd both be like, huh?
Huh?
And it's just like, that's fucked up. Like, I don't have my own name. I'm literally a two. It's like, Paul, middle name, Dobbles, T. 2. And you're like, man, like, that sucks. Like, yeah. Talk about the trying second. To be original. Like, and you have to be a comedian. You always got to be original. Yeah.
See, that's the reason why I'm the Maniacal Menace, just because there's too many Kyle Smiths in the world.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of Kyle Smiths.
Oh, fuck. Yeah,
very generic name.
I am. Like in Louisiana? Like,
and then, just all over, like, generic. Everywhere. Like John Doe. Like that type of shit. Fuck? Like, yeah, my name is really Kyle. I mean, my name is really Common.
Yeah.
Kyle Smith, Kevin Smith. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, Smith. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
last that name is Smith. Super common. Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah.
so. Very
Kevin
much
Smith.
So.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's like, ah, shit. So I go by, I try. It's so difficult, though, because when people read my name, the Maniacal Menace, they're like, the maniac. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's how I read it, too.
God
damn it. I'm uneducated, I guess.
It's like, it's not that. It's just, it looked how it looks. People don't often have to spell out maniacal, and it doesn't look like it should, or look like it sounds. So, it's just, I don't know, it fucks people up. It fucks people up every time, and I'm like, ah.
That's fun.
All right, so, I just got to put it in people's heads just over and over again, I guess, and
yeah.
then people will get it.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just going to be that phase where the maniacal man, Kyle Smith, I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, that works.
People even ask, they're like, how do you say it, the Maniacal Menace? Maniacal? I'm like, damn it.
And like, it says like a host, you know they're going to fuck it up.
Yeah, I just told you. I just told you.
I remember one time they were just like, when I was running this mic, and they were like, it's not meant to have a host. And I was just like, it starts after midnight, it's $2 wells, everyone's already drunk.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, there needs to be some type of system. And I was like, I really tried not to be the host. But yeah. I was just like, right, I'm going to tell you the next person, all right? I'm going to tell you. They'll do their set, and they'll be like, all right, give it up for the host. And then I walk over and like, give it up for this next guy. And then it was funny. I was like, I remember one time I got sticky notes and I wrote their name and I was like, put it in their hand and I was like, go. And at the end of your set, just read the note. And I remember they would put it down and just, they would put their drink on it sometimes. And I was like, remember one time they were like, oh. I remember a back and they would walk away and they'd run back and like, hey, give it up for this bro. Like, that shit was no one's gonna remember anyone's name. Just remember. That's why you have to be a little like.
Yeah.
That's why I wear suits and stuff like that. You kinda,
yeah.
And then I was reading like this how to kill on stage. It's like you want to make a comedy persona. Like when I'm in my suit and stuff like that, like I'm the comedy, I'm PE mm-hmm. Dobbles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if I'm just out there just like in a hoodie and a shirt and like playing my Switch, like at a mic. You know, I'm not going to be the hippity-hoppity dude. Like but then there's people that are like, that stay in their comedy persona, and you're just like, dude, I do not want to hang out with you, because you're just...
Yes.
Real right now.
You meet a lot of them like that in L.A., and it's like, yo,
you just
a dude with your chest out all the time? Like, at every time you go wear this little pimp suit? At all. Nope.
Bro.
Nope. And I don't know how many times I've said this before, but I met this dude out in L.A. the first time I got out there. Before I moved out there, I went out there just to visit. And I met this dude, and I forget what his name was, but he was like, yeah, man, you know, I just be running around here, man, I be doing my thing, I be pimping, man, I be pimping, look, I got my bitches with me here. I'm like, hey, bitch, here, bop, bop, man, they had these two chicks that came up. Very mediocre,
yeah.
But just like lots of top chest. And it's
okay.
Like, all right, I don't really care for that.
Okay.
You know, and they was just like, oh, you know, doing all this
what?
Shit. And he was like, yeah, man, check out my Instagram. Son, I got so many followers. And it's like, all right. And so I go look at it. And this dude's got, he's got like 10 videos. 10 videos, so many followers. And he's only following like 6 people. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was so weird. In all the videos,
it's
him in the same suit. The same suit that he was wearing as I seen him,
yeah.
Chest out, doing stupid shit. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now, son. You know what? We can't be friends. We can't be cool. I hope I don't ever see you again. Like, this is terrible. Like,
yeah.
you were not being you. This isn't you.
Exactly.
Like, you were being fake to me. And I don't know, like, because you're lying to me right now.
That's,
like, nope.
And that's the most common fakeness you would find in comedy.
Ugh.
And the second form of fakeness is the someone has a show, so I'm gonna be super nice and dick sucky to this person, or the person that has to be in every conversation, every Facebook thread. They gotta give their 2 cents, and it's like, man, I see you're working really hard. Like, damn, like
yeah.
In comedy, me, if I can get booked in Houston Comedy, anyone can be booked in Houston Comedy. The bookings will come. Like, that's, they will, like, it's this weird Kevin Costner shit. Like, it's like, there's a show, like, people, it's gonna get booked. Like,
you tell them they will come.
That's great. Like, the amount of times, like, I've been booked and not thinking I was gonna, like, that's nuts. Fucking nuts, man. Like, I
mean, what you not consider a bad comic, though?
Oh, no, I think I use this metaphor as the totem pole of Houston comedy. Mm. Like, I'm on the bottom of that totem pole, but at least I'm on it.
Ah.
And it's just like, I know there are people that would talk shit about me, and it's just like, I'm like, bro, you barely got booked, and you've been doing this for how long? It's just like, you know, it's weird. Or it's just like, people that you've seen me do, it's just like, people gotta throw shade, or they gotta be douchey, or they gotta be going with the crowd of, like, novels isn't funny. I'm just like, I was on two shows where I did really good. Like, I have recorded proof. Like, that's great. Which was, it's fucked up, because now that I have 10 minutes and stuff like that, she did me a favor and she recorded 10 minutes for me. And I was like, oh, you just put that on Facebook? Now I can just send that to people and be like, book me.
Yeah.
Now there's, like, literal video and audio footage of me killing, like, in the suit. This is what I look like when I go on stage. This is what I'm going to sound. This is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and with the gaming channel, it's just like, I mean, it's just like, people are, I was thinking about,
that's
like,
just extra content now. That's just so people can see your personality.
And then it's just like, I remember Gendry was telling me, he was just like, it shows off Houston comedy. Because, like, not to dig on you or anything.
No, it's perfect.
But, like, in 2020, everyone started a podcast, and I was just wondering who's going to keep going. Like, so many online shows started and stuff like that. And I was like, which ones are going to die out? Which ones are going to keep going? And I think I started in May. This
one's
so fun,
because this one started before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, I got everything backlogged. This is nice. It's so nice to see the progression of, like, how like, the world went through this podcast, and how, since I've started, it's gotten so much different. It's gone to the way of, because when I was, like, the first time doing it, I was very uncomfortable. I was very shy. I felt like, I felt like it was my first prom night, and I was like, I'm still a virgin. You know? I was very coddled at the time. I was like, I don't know if this is how this is gonna sound, but let's just go with it. Cause I'm just talking into the ether.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
So, but once I've gotten used to it, I'll sit down and just ramble. I get me a coffee and just fucking, just spit some shit out. I also like to talk about my OnlyFans. I got a few OnlyFans that I like to go ahead and put people on, and then I give some fun facts at the end.
There you go.
Yeah.
You gotta give a plug.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram, Facebook, man, support the OnlyFans.
Yeah. Got it.
Man, that was
support.
A big thing, man. In 2020, which I thought was, like, super funny, because, like, you see a lot of adult porn stars, which I would follow them on Instagram, and you're just like, oh, they're people too, you know, they like anime and shit, you know. Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, everyone got a little thick, like, in the porn industry, because, like, no one was fucking.
Oh,
and it's like, I was like, holy shit. And then, like, OnlyFans turned into a thing, and it's like, holy shit.
I follow the normies.
The normies.
Yeah, the ones that are normal. Oh, like, oh, you just decided you wanted to make money. Like, people that I know you. Like, I definitely know. All right, let's see what you're doing. Let's see what you're working with.
The phone bill. Hell
yeah. It's so weird, because you feel like a creep, but it's like, well, no, you put it out here.
Yeah.
You put it out here for, okay.
I literally have a Pornhub sweater in my cart for Amazon. I'm out here to support. Don't be weird. Like, I'm a weird guy, and I like to make people feel weird. Like, I like to be what I like to call, like, the Babadook of Houston comedy.
The Babadook. Oh, like, come on.
No, I look like a weird person, you know? Like, I remember one time someone was just like, yeah, Dobbles, you look like rapist number 3 on Law and Order. And I was like, number 3? Not even 2? And I was like, man, I can't be rapist number 1.
Well, in the lineup, usually you'd probably be towards the middle. You wouldn't be one in, because you're a taller person.
That's what I was saying. I think I give off a naturally creepy. I mean, I'm a big 6-foot-tall, you know.
And you give off a Snorlax vibe to me.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I just smoke a lot of weed. That's crazy. Smoke some weed. I'll watch all 3 commentaries of Spider-Man 2. I'll spend 6 hours doing that. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All 3 hours of commentary. I love the commentary on certain movies. That's good. Oh, good, good. So you're a big nerd. I like this. Usually I like to ask people before we get out of here. Since this is Tell Me a Joke, and we do not tell any jokes at all, but we do have a good time and make people laugh from time to time, what in your life, okay, or how you feel now, what Joker do you say would best in fit your persona?
Oh, man. Oh, my persona. I'll say right off the bat, it'd probably be Batman, early animated Batman.
Uh-huh.
Joker. Mark Hamill.
Ah.
Because, like, he really couldn't do super sinister shit.
Yeah.
I think the closest thing he could do is, like, give the Richter grin to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, it later on grew into, like... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a big Batman. I'm a big Joker fan. Like,
yeah.
I remember, like, just knowing that, like, Luke Skywalker played fucking the right. Joker for 20 years. And, like, when I read comic books and shit like that, yeah. I hear that voice. And, like... But then, like... As I grew to, like voice actors and other actors, like, Heath Ledger's Joker, fucking gold and shit like that. But then John DiMaggio's Joker and Under the Red Hood, that's really good. Like, where yeah. he's just, like, oh, what does he say? He's just, like, oh, the kid came all the way back from the dead to make this happen. Who has a camera? First me and you, then one with the kid, and then one with the crowbar. And then you're just, like, Jesus Christ, you mean the crowbar you beat the shit out of this kid with? Like, man, like, John DiMaggio's funny. Oh, the Batman? The guy that plays, yeah. I forgot his name, but the he's a black gentleman that plays the Joker in the Batman animated mm-hmm. series, and like that Joker is just
I think that one's on HBO.
Yeah, it's just, man, that dude sounds like he's
yeah
working out playing that character. Like, Jesus Christ, and just very, I mean, like, yeah, just Mark Hamill's Joker, like even going through like all the Arkham games,
mm-hmm.
you're just like, fuck, like this is.
See, you took this into a deeper level than most people have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really good. My brother is probably coming his pants right now. Like, yes, he knows some shit.
Yeah.
Because he usually asks people this often. So this would probably be fun for you to ask. I haven't done this in a while. But, all right, you get
dead air. You know it.
That
was the question.
Did
I take your time. Sorry.
Oh no. Like I want to get it right. Just because like you'd probably have a good take.
You got water or more
tequila? No, I'm good. I actually got this coffee.
Ellie, you need anything?
Yeah. Cool. Manatee. So, anyway.
Is it nerd related?
It is slightly nerd related. Oh, here we go. It's B1, raise one, sell one, fuck one.
Oh, all right. B1, raise one, sell one, fuck one.
Yeah. So I got four. You got to be one of them, you got to raise one of them, you got to sell one of them, you got to fuck one of them.
Okay.
All right? And I like this thing with alliteration, so. And the things that your options are,
okay.
You got a mermaid, you got a mogwai.
It's a mogwai. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got a Mexican. And you got a manatee. You got a B1, raise one, sell one, fuck one. Mermaid, mogwai, Mexican, or manatee.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Man. Does that mermaid one sound as like, does that sound, does that count as human slavery?
If you want to sell it?
Yeah.
It's a mermaid.
Yeah.
You can sell it on a black market.
Yeah.
It's not slavery. You're just selling a mermaid.
It's a live person.
Is it a live person?
I mean, it's a person. Like Ariel.
If you want to put it that way.
That's exactly how human traffickers think. Like,
if you want
to feel bad about trafficking people, if you look at them and people know. That's hilarious. Oh, God.
I mean, it's the black market. They'll definitely take a
mermaid.
Even
on the regular market, that would probably go for
a lot. I mean, but you don't necessarily have to sell the mermaid.
True, but like, what's more expensive? The mogwai, the manatee, and the mermaid? I mean, the Mexican probably go for a bit, too, but I don't think it's much. Like, to be honest, how many people
I think the mogwai will probably cost more than a mermaid. Mogwai is
magical. It's like a small weapon. Like, I could see out in like the arms market. I'd be like, bro, just get this shit wet, drop it in fucking whatever you want to blow up. Bro, that, bro, destroying cities by like Mogwai, that's fucked up. Like, people want to give Obama shit, bro. That's right. Bro, just take a little gizmo from an airplane, a bottle of water, throw that motherfucker out, and just watch from a distance. Be like, within 4 hours, the city's going to be gone. Like,
and take over like critters.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That is a, that's a, all right, no one's ever taken it this route.
Fuck yeah,
that's
dude.
A way to think about it.
Hell yeah, so, okay, the Mogwai could be worse, than that's a whole weapon. Okay, do I have more than one, man?
Do you, I mean, you could dude, probably make more than one.
Blumhouse reboot of this is going to be fucked up, let's get it. Oh, I can make a fucked up horror movie, never mind. Okay, so, I mean, the manatee probably ain't going. Okay, I'm going to go with being Mexican because I'm already half Mexican.
Okay.
So, so I got to fuck one. Ooh, that puts me in a corner. Fuck. Guess I'm fucking the mermaid. By automatically picking the Mexican. Okay.
You see?
He
would definitely change their options once they start thinking about things. It's like, wait.
Once you pick one, you're like, oh no!
Yeah.
Okay. Do people usually start with what they fuck?
No.
How many people fuck the mermaid?
A lot of people like to fuck the mermaid. A lot of people go that route.
Fuck the
yeah, that's. Depending on what type of mermaid you're getting.
No, I want some mermaid pussy, huh? Like,
I guess.
I mean, if I was gonna fuck a centaur, I don't want the centaur to blow me. I want to fuck
yeah,
the horse.
Teeth are scary looking.
Yeah, our teeth would be scary looking.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking about like an aerial mermaid, like
yeah,
the one from the lighthouse.
You sure she ain't got those cone head teeth where there's just like so many of them, just all the way?
Oh God.
Narf the Garth.
Okay, what about the pussy? Is there teeth in the pussy? Like,
yeah, you never know. She doesn't.
Okay. So, yeah, fuck the mermaid. Like, lighthouse mermaid. Yeah.
Okay.
You ever seen the lighthouse? And then, okay, so I'm Mexican. I'm fucking the mermaid. I gotta kill and sell.
Oh, no, no. No kill. Just be one, raise one, sell one.
Okay, I gotta raise one and then sell one. Okay, I'm making money off. I'm making money off the Mogwai with my weapon Mogwai.
Uh huh. And
that's
gonna
raise
the manatee.
Yeah, dude, that'd be fucking cool, dude. That'd be fucking cool. Hey, you got a pool? That ain't a pool. That's my manatees.
It's a bog.
That's my manatees. Yeah, you got a manatee. Yeah, bro. Come, hey, you see South Park? They're right, South Park.
Like
are they right, Simpsons or Family
Guy? El Chapo of the River.
Dude, hell yeah, manatees go hard.
Ah, oh, that's good. All right, that one, you had to think about that one, but you got it in there.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah. I'm happy I got away with not fucking the Mogwai and not
most
fucking
people,
a manatee.
Most people try to pick the mermaid. It's like, well, I'd be the mermaid.
Really?
And then, yeah, and then I'd raise the Mogwai. I'm like, well, okay, you know, you can't get it wet, and you're a mermaid. And you'd be like, wait, oh fuck. I'll just keep it in a bubble like Sandy on SpongeBob.
Mogwai suit underwater. That's
you
cute
gotta
as fuck.
Be careful.
That's cute. That's where the second Grim
is. Yeah, it's like, people like they put themselves in a box and like, oh shit.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but a lot of people like to be the mermaid. Either fuck the mermaid or be the mermaid. Yeah, so it's
no, like, I don't want to live in the ocean. I ain't got Wi-Fi.
I mean, you ain't got to be the mermaid. You seen 13, huh? The movie, the Disney movie where the dude was a fish. He was raised on not animorphs. That's different.
Okay.
They mutated. He was half fish. He was a merboy.
Oh, okay.
And he
so
didn't
like
get
some
his
shape of water type shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. 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 Just like
yeah,
that.
Yo, well, Turtle, you ain't original. You just watching Disney movies.
I think this actually came out after.
Yo, well, Turtle watched 13 and was like, you know what this is going to use? Michael Shannon's some fucking.
Oh, wait. The Shape of Water was with the Squid Man.
Yeah.
No, there was Tom Hanks had a movie.
Splash?
Splash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where whenever her legs would get wet, they would turn into a fin.
Okay.
Wasn't it? Didn't see that. No, you never seen
it? No, man. What's up with it? I saw a flipper.
Yeah,
I saw a Free Willy. I saw Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, that's the reason why I went to college, because I thought I could train whales. And I was like, yeah, marine biology. This is what I'm going to do.
It turns out sea worms are fucking monsters.
Yeah! I've seen blackfish. Blackfin. My brother's yelling at me.
The original name was 12 Years of Fish. But that's that one's working out. They're like, is that black to me? That's racist, sir.
Shout out to Smooshy. But man, good shit, Dobbs. Thanks for coming on, Dobbs. Yeah. This has been good. If you want to go ahead and plug your shit, plug whatever you like, where they can find you at.
Address is 123. I mean, Houston, Texas. I mean, if it's not hard to find, just go to open mic, come out to the show. Instagram, you can find me on Paul Dobbles. Facebook is also, I think it's P.E. Dobbles.
P.E. Dobbles.
Yeah, and then Dobbs Gaming, D-O-B-B-S Gaming on Facebook. And just
two
follow
B's.
That. Yeah,
2D. There it is. All right, man. And thank y'all for coming. Thank y'all for listening. And this has been Tell Me a Joke. I have been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Said a whole thing like a pimp named Slickback, man. Until next time. Y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
That's